Let's read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 22. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, now say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ when he raised not up. And if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man come death, by man come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Bless you. Let me give God praise for the blessings and the privileges of being here today. I thought for some time that I was imagining. I somehow was convinced that I was somewhere around here more recent than it was being said. It was 2 years ago. Yeah. And it was at an Easter time, too. So I'm not always right, but it's good to feel right. Yeah. But I was right. Yeah, I struggled quite a bit in the course of my days being here as I pondered my thoughts in my message for the day. In my notebook, I observed a resurrection message, and something kept telling me, I normally mark it I preach this message here. But seemingly, my wife could not think that I was here, and so I thought that maybe it's like, you know, deja vu or something of the sort. I thought I remembered Brother Aaron Lapp getting up and saying something. And I was almost thinking that I remembered what he said. But it seems like only myself remembered that I was here. So I thought, well, maybe I wasn't. Yeah, but Lord bless you. The expressions of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning to read from verse 3. And I'd like to say this morning, dearly beloved, we are probably familiar with the expression that where there's life, there is hope. And I assure you that if there is hope, then there are practical reasons for living. For the Word of God says that hope makes it not a shame, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which has been given to us. And in the expressions of the Apostle Peter here today, I have observed that simple truth, that if there's life, there's hope. And if there's hope, then there's reason for living. We are gathered today, and traditionally, historically, we say it's Resurrection Day. This is a day of life. This is a day of hope. Is Jesus alive? Is Jesus alive?
Jesus is alive.
How do you know? How do you know? You feel it in your heart. What does it say? How does it feel?
It gives you joy.
It gives you joy.
Jesus is alive.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Life brings hope. Hope gives reason for living. And because we live, I would say, or because we are alive in Christ, we experience joy in its most abundant measure. Hope gives us reason to believe. Hope, I believe, establishes faith, encourages faith, according to what we're reading here. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That is the salutation of the Apostle Peter from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. I'd like to speak, dearly beloved, a little bit of life, that which we are experiencing presently, that which Jesus assures us that he will give to us and will give it more abundantly. Whether it simply implies that if you believe in Jesus and you serve God, you might live longer. I am certain that you will, by all means, live better. And the quality of life that will be displayed from you will bring somewhat of an amazement from those who are observing. I very much appreciate the expression in the book of Corinthians where it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And there's an expression there, it says, and behold, all things are become new. And consequently, you and I, as a child of God, we are not just merely being observed. We are being beheld. People don't just look at us casually. They take a keen, clear observation. At least they should, according to the Word of God. There's a life. There's a meaningful life. There's a different life. In the book of John, chapter 1, is where we will share with you from. And the expression there is, in him was life. In Jesus was life. Essentially, originally, John chapter 1, and as the previous verses in this chapter would express, in him was life. He is the source. He is the means. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to be a witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And so, here is life presented to us according to the word of God.
He is confirmed to be the source of life, that which was from the beginning. I say to us, brethren, Christianity is no mere extended entity or expansion of God's creation. It is the original life of God Himself that has made man, you and I, a living soul. Like the Apostle Peter says, God has given to us a lively hope. And so there is in us something that is rare, something that is a work of God that is beyond the comprehension of human minds. It's a renewed, rejuvenated, and restored form of living that God has allowed us to experience through our Lord Jesus Christ. He it is that abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Hence, the Holy Scripture confirms that according to John chapter 14 and verse 6, He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, He is the going and getting back to God, He is the knowing and being known of God, He is the life, true life, real life, original life, the God Himself in us. That is life. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, according to Romans 8, dwells in us, God in you and I. Growing in and showing of God's existence and having Him abiding in our lives. In Him was and still is life. Hence we are here today. And we are here in Him because He lived and died and rose again, as was read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 through 22. The word life appears for the first time in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20. It signified the state of living in contrast to the death, and appears at least 650 times thereafter, all showing life-giving or having implications. So wherever you see life in the Word of God, it's life-giving, and it's always implying the reality of an existence of simply being alive. The very creation itself displays life, given and sustained and supported by every aspect, all in contrast to death. Then Jesus Himself took death, even His death, and used it as a life-giving source. In Christ is life. For did He not die that we might live and deliver us, who through the fear of death was made subject to it as a result of sin and hell and Satan? In Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 9, it says, and even though death, since the fall of man, have been lurking in the midst of life, we see life surging through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 9. Here's life given to us. For when we were yet sinners, let's read verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet sinners, yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I think of one of the particular prophets as I think of life, and as I think on the resurrection likewise this morning, And it's intriguing to me as I look on the life of the prophet Elisha. He obviously was a prophet of life, as you look at many of his miracles performed were related to life. And I want to think on him this morning because my desire is to compare, as the Word of God says, that Jesus, he is life. He was life, he is life, and he was made so much greater than the prophets. And as we look in the Holy Script, we see the power of life, especially coming through this one particular man, and we will see also life in our Lord Jesus Christ as a result of the glory of the resurrection. In the book of Kings, 2 Kings chapter 13, let's look at verse 31 through 37. And here is a very fine story given. Yeah, there was death. There was death in the pot, we would say. It's 2 Kings chapter 31, 2 Kings chapter 13, sorry, verse 31 through 37. And that's not quite it. All right, let's look at 20 and 21. Let's look through there. That's not the one I was looking for. It seems like I missed one. Let's see if it's in the earlier chapter. Not there either. Okay. It's probably chapter 4. Let's see, 2 Kings chapter 4. Maybe I should find this verse yet. Yeah, it's there. 2 Kings chapter 4. Poisonous food made harmless. That's Elisha. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servants, set on the great pot and seed pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot. Now, let's look at that. Let's look at that. It tells us here that in the pottage, in the pot, was death. And he said to the man, bring some more meal, pour it in the pot, and eat from the pot of death. And there was no harm in the pot. If the pot was already poisonous, and you add more food to the poisonous pot, and you eat from the same pot of poison, then you should surely die. 2 Kings chapter 13 now. Why do I look at these verses here? I'm just trying to emphasize the power of life as in a man, in a prophet. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20. And Elijah died, and they buried him. Now, Elisha, sorry, died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Did you read that portion recently? That is resurrection. That is resurrection power. The first time I read that portion of Scripture, it was many years ago. And I read it again. I was trying to convince myself that I was actually reading from the Bible. And let me give you the simple story. Jesus says, and let's bear this in mind, dearly beloved. Jesus said, destroy this body, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And there was somewhat of an astonished, dumbfounded feeling or expression among the people at that time. They could not imagine that one would dare to say that he would die and he would make himself alive once more. But did he not say in the book of John chapter 10 that this commandment have I from my Father? God had commanded Jesus that he would have this ability to lay down his life and to raise it up again. He says, no man take it from me. I lay it down and I take it up again. And that calls for some weird measures of imagination to try to fathom a man that is dead. And we know the Word of God says that Jesus Christ was raised by God the Father, clearly understood. Yet the Word of God says, there he was dead with the commandment within himself from God that he will lay down his life and that while he is dead, he will take up his life again. In him is life. And this is why hope establishes faith. Because you and I cannot easily believe that a dead man can decide after 3 days of death, a dead man can decide, today I will become alive again. And in our time, if we would see such an incident, we would shudder. I mean, we would not be able to bear it. Nonetheless, let's go on here. And so then, there they were. And the scripture tells us that this chariot was going, and there was that man that was being buried. And then here was a man that was coming upon them, and they took this body, and they cast the body into an old, long, dead grave. And in that grave was the dry bones of the prophet Elisha. And the scripture says, when the man that was dead touched the bones of Elisha, he stood up on his feet. And if you were there, what would you have done? Now, you will be able to make a better decision today because you quite well understand that there is the power of the resurrection and that God can raise one from the dead because he raised Jesus from the dead. And even though some of us believe that, if any one of us in this midst would die and would dare rise again, we would probably scare some of our dear brethren to death. But don't we believe in the resurrection? Do you believe in the resurrection? Yes, we do. And probably I said it the last time when I came, but several years ago when I was in Kenya, I did not get to see it because I was in the church service. There was a man that I understood that had died, and he was on the way to the cemetery. It was a funeral procession, and in the course of the funeral procession, there was a beating on the inside of the box. I was told the vast majority of the people rapidly dispersed, and there was a number of brethren, including a few of the local Mennonite brethren who did not run, which tells me they believed in the resurrection. And they opened the box, and the man sat up. Ooh. I didn't see. I heard. I heard. Jesus says, you destroy this temple, and I will rise it up again. Jesus, dearly beloved, the scripture says concerning him that he was made so much better, so much greater than the angels and the prophets and every other great man, including Moses. And the word of God says in him was life. The very essence of it, the origin of life, the reality. We want to note an account in the book of Luke, chapter 1 and verse 41 through 44, going all the way back to the Christmas story. But this also was very impressive to me. The first time I ever saw a baby moved in a mother's belly, I was 8 years old. And I remember it quite vividly because I was at home with my own mother, the only one of us children that was at home. And my mother was with child with my youngest sister. And I recall sitting across from her in our little living room. And then just all of a sudden, I saw my mother's belly went. She didn't make any movement. Did she see that? And I guess I was kind of. That was the first time in my life I saw life on the inside alive. I had seen many pregnant women, but I had never seen that happen. And then my mother observed my amazement. And then she said, come, feel it. Ah, that was my little sister. In Luke chapter 1, verse 41, and why I share this story with you is because I'm saying, dearly beloved, I'm emphasizing, and I cannot overemphasize, the word of God says, in him is life. Today is resurrection day. Today is the day of assurance that what you are doing now is worth the while doing. The scripture says, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, then your faith is vain. What's all of this for? Why are you people dressed like this? Why do you have church services? What are you doing this for? There could be other things. Some of you have farms and have businesses, and some of you are a little bit tired because you sleep in church from time to time, even in a Sunday morning. Go home and take your rest. If Christ had not risen, then it would have been absolutely no need for me even to be here. And for you to be there, because there would have been no reality, there would have been no inner existence of a life that is looking forward to a greater, a bigger, a more fulfilling life. But it occurred way back in the Bible, and let's have that reference clear this time. We're looking in the book of Luke chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 41. What happened here? Mary, who was with child, visited Elizabeth, who was also with child. Now, I am not quite familiar with this type of biology, but one is smaller than the other, you might know. So we'll call one a fetus and one an embryo. Whichever one is smaller, the smaller one was Jesus. And so, the two women were with child. And here comes Mary, the story says, that it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. How about that? What happened there? You want to guess? I didn't have to guess that. Jesus came in the presence of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist recognized his Lord. And the little tiny clot of blood was so filled with life that when it came near to a small form that was beginning to have life, that little thing went like this. Just call it a matter of my personal imagination. But I'm saying the scripture gives me the impression that when Mary came in the presence of Elizabeth and said, Lizzie did not only hear the voice of Mary, but in reality, the baby recognized the source and the power of life that came into his presence, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think I exaggerated, beg your pardon, but that's my understanding of the scripture. And it emphasizes that Christ is life, and in him is life. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. How did she know that Mary was pregnant already, when to my understanding, I think Mary was in the process now of letting her into the good news? Something transpired there. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? That's what Elizabeth said. How far had the news gone that Mary was with child with Jesus when Joseph took a private situation into his hands with an effort to conceal the fact that this unmarried woman was with child? Who gave the news? Who gave that news? Or was it like that kind of news we have around here? You ever see that kind of news? I just saw it recently somewhere. Somebody come to someone and say, I'd like to tell you this, but don't tell anybody. Oh, yeah, it was at the where Andy took us. And then the other person said, shh, don't tell anybody. And then everybody told everybody, apparently, don't tell anybody. And so there was absolutely nobody who did not know. When Joseph was confronted with this experience, he was bent on protecting this woman that he loved and that God had urged him to take care of. And so this news wasn't spreading like wildfire. In him is life, the Word of God says. And this life, of course, the Word of God likewise confirms, is the light of men. And so then, as the mere embryo of Jesus came near the fetus of his forerunner John, he was recognized and sparked off John's life in Elizabeth's womb. Jesus is life, was and is still life. He is the most vigorous, the most potent, and the most filled with vitality. Remember the sick and dying woman who touched the hem of his garment? You remember her? Jesus, who touched me? One touch. Who touched me? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, who would think life would squirt from the skirt of a man? There was life in his skirt. The only lady do that is. And Jesus said, what virtue has gone out of me? She touched the hem of his garment. And the word of God said that Jesus said that virtue went out of him. The woman obviously did not even touch him. And the scripture confirms that she was made whole. In him is life. Resurrection power assures us today, dearly beloved, that why we are here, why we live, why you and I have within us an immortality that goes beyond even our own comprehension, a life that extends all the way through eternity. Well, let me tell you a little story. You might believe it if you want. Now, you should believe it. Preachers don't lie in the pulpit. Shouldn't lie in the pulpit. It's hard to lie in the pulpit. But let me tell you something. As I think on giving life, Jesus, the source of life, and there his expression is clear in the book of John 10, 17 and 18, such life and giving source, all in himself, a dead man here commanding his dead body to rise again. This is, superabundant life in itself. But let me give you this simple little experience of mine. And it just made me think when I woke up. I was having a real bad dream. Okay? Can you think in your sleep? I was having a real bad dream. And here was death. The kind of dream that gives you a nightmare. That guy was coming, and he was coming for my life. I don't know why, because I cannot recall for many years doing anybody anything that I think would be so offensive that he would want to kill me. And so he was pursuing. And you and I know well that in dreams, you don't run too good, right? And so here I was. And you know the song I come, right? Because my wife knows those night songs. Yeah, I was born. And then something struck me. Something struck my mind. It said, wait a minute. You're not out there. You are in your bed. You said something like I'm crazy man. I said, no. I came to bed. I am in my bed. And no one is chasing me. My thing is, all I need to do is to wake up. He said, why the man could talk fool? I said, And here it was, right on the surface awake. I said, I got the fellow. Yeah. I woke up, and that thing struck my mind in such a vivid manner. It made me think. I am but a mere human being. And there I was in a state that I thought was beyond my ability to control, because the reality of the dream was such that I thought if this guy had caught me, I would have died. And then you are not the first one I said that to, and maybe you might be thinking, now what's wrong with this man that he talked like that? But what I'm saying is, the rationalization that crossed my mind was this, that if I was asleep and was able to think in my sleep, and I am no God, I am finite, and I consider that an extremely great feat. Because many of you out there are thinking that you were never able to think in your sleep. Huh? That's why I sung funny to you. Because if most of you were able to do that and had done that many times to be able to rationalize and to reason while you were asleep, you would not think what I am saying quite funny. Because for you, it would have been a reality. And then, when I woke, I said, now, if I can say to myself in my sleep, I will wake up. What's so difficult for Jesus to say in his death, I will arise? I compared my infinite being with an infinite being, and if there was such power in my finite self, then why cannot there be a greater power in an infinite God? What we do sometimes and achieve in our lives and what we think that we attain and are able to perform, we consider it so great an act. And I say, dearly beloved, we are but feeble folks. And if you and I can do some of the things we do, what makes it impossible for God to do what he does? It inspired my faith. No, I tell you, literally, it helped me. It was not an Easter time, but it literally helped me to believe the resurrection. And you say, so simple a thing, but yet it was a reality for my own mind. Let's go on from that, though. Yeah. Superabundant life in Christ himself. That's what the Word of God says. And John 10:10. Does it amaze you that Jesus says, I am come that he might have life and that he might have it more abundantly. That he might have life and that he might have it more abundantly. Something transpired in you and I. Today was the transpiring of that experience. Whatever happened in the grave, the Word of God is clear. It was a reality. Your mind and my mind cannot put those facts. The Word of God tells us the mystery of godliness is great. And you might be pondering some of these realities. But I say, dearly beloved, the Scripture tells me that with faith, this is a possibility. This is a reality. And we were answering earlier, why do we believe? How do you believe? And we say what we feel and the joy and all this. I say, it's something that you yourself find it difficult to explain. The life of Christ in a man is so superabundant that the man himself cannot clearly give a definition of what he encountered and what made his life a reality today. Did you know me before you got to know me the first time I came in the U.S. in 1990? 1989? Did you know me? Who was I? And then why do you have me here? Do you trust me? Something happened. Something happened in me, obviously, because I know you folks well. You are not haphazard, and you are not careless. Something happened in you. Christ is life. 2 Peter chapter 1 is one of my very favorite portions of Scripture. This is the power of the resurrection. This is the power of Jesus. This is the power that is given to you and I today. Second Peter chapter 1, let's read. Verse 3, verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Jesus does not merely preserve life. He does not merely impart life. He is not only communicating it in a rich and rejuvenating manner. Jesus himself is life, and Jesus in us make us alive. The word of God, it shows us here in the book of Peter. And as we think, and look at this expression, I like this very well, that by these ye might be partakers of his divine nature, that a life might be formed in you that is very much likened to the life of God himself. And I'm not ashamed nor afraid to say that. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, the scripture says, it shall quicken your mortal bodies by that Spirit that dwells in you. What is that Spirit? It is the Spirit of life, the power of the resurrection that burst and broke the seal. They said the stone was almost 2 tons that was placed there with lever. Apparently the power picked up the stone and placed it aside. Bang! If there ever was a big bang, that was the big bang. The beginning of life in the life of man. And so, he gives it all. Unfailing exuberance. A life that, and if you read further in this same chapter, it's so filled and impressive. But here it tells us, and as I think on this, being partakers of a divine nature, a way of life that is life. So then, what did we have before? What did we have before today? Before today became history. When I say today, I do not mean today. I mean the event that we are celebrating today. What did we have? In the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. I'm not familiar with your time, but let me tell you what I recalled several years ago when I was here. Your clock stopped. Yeah, several years ago, I recall that the clock stopped and I kept on and I kept on. I looked up and it took me quite some time to realize the clock was, stop. Let's form a conclusion, but shortly. What did we have before? Let's read through Hebrews 2, 14 through 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, you and I, and also himself likewise took part of the same, that through that he might destroy him that had the power of death, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. But it tells us here that you and I, flesh and blood, as we were subjected to death, and we suffered from the fear of death, but Jesus had the power of death, and he destroyed death. And consequently, you and I can live. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth continuously, as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God says, you shall never die. One of the things that impressed me, and maybe that fits you better than it does me, many years ago, when I first came into this community, I saw many of these men. I came back today, and I said, but well, These men look as if they aren't getting older. They look very much close. I mean, my first time here was at least 28 years ago, and some of these men seemingly had not gone far past that looks that they have. And I kind of started wondering, am I catching up on these guys? But I said, well, they should be 2 hours ahead of me anyway, so I shouldn't be catching up that easy. But what I'm saying is that even that life, in Hebrews 7:25, the Word of God says that Jesus is able to save us to the uttermost. He gives us a life, like I said, that is superabundant, that goes above the rim of the bucket. You've seen it before. I probably said it here before. If you are careful and you look at a bucket that has been filled, you leave it, let it reach the top, and if you look like this, you will find that that spill does not begin right at the top of the bucket if your water is like mine home. It does not begin at the top of the bucket. The water goes just a minute measurement above the top of the bucket, and then it starts coming out. Look at it good the next time. You go like this, and you will see that it's not quite in line. And Jesus says, the Word of God says, that He is able to save us to the uttermost. He gives us a life, a salvation that goes over and beyond. And I tell people, what your salvation do to you, what your salvation do to me, it saves my life, it saves my soul, it saves my pocket, it saves my looks. It saves my life spiritually and also physically. And so it's no amazement when a man serves God that he lives longer than many of the people that don't serve God. Because salvation gets a hold of the very being, inner and outer being, and it saves us to the maximum limit of any form of human comprehension that we can compile in our finite minds as to what salvation really means. We don't understand this thing as good as we think, you know. This thing bigger than we. Great is the mystery of godliness. And if we can put this thing in a little box for ourselves and say, see there, I got that right here, then we're the fool with self. That's plain Creole. If we can put it in a box and say, here it is, my comprehension of this matter of godliness, then I'm saying you are making a fool of yourselves. It has no lid. Jesus says, I am come that he might have life and that he might have it more abundantly, and absolutely nothing can seal that off. In him was life. To the last moment of his life. And we are moving on here now. Luke 28 and verse 46. Jesus died, we know he did. But Jesus rose again. And Jesus is alive, and like we say, he is well. But look in Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 23, and verse 46. There it says, and here he was on the cross. It speaks of the death of Jesus. It was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst thereof. And it says in verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And you think that loud? I could go at least 2 or 3 times above that without the mic. Without the mic. He was dying. What do people do when they are dying? And then you barely hear them. And then when our loved ones, we try to get near and we put our ear near to them and they whisper some last passing word. Jesus was dying. And the Word of God said, that he cried with a loud voice, a loud voice. A dying man and it echoed all on the hills and the plains. Father, into thy hands. In him is life. And whilst he died, he was so powerfully alive. Why do you think he did not want to take that little thing they give men to drink to dull in the senses and to make him feel less pain? He was well alive. In Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 8, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. What in the world? And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, how could this ever happen? Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen, just like he said. Did not Jesus say, destroy this temple, and in 3 days? They were much perplexed, and they were very afraid, and they bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, what are you looking for? He is not here. He told you. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered the words, and they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest and to us. And so here we are. We believe that he is not here. He is risen, as he said. Was it not Martha that said, Lord, if you were here, my brother had not died? Probably there is, but did you ever read of anyone that simply died in the presence of Jesus? I mean, died right there in the presence of Jesus. Probably there are some scriptures that says that, but it's hard to find. He was the first to die on the cross. But he was the only one that rose again. And John 3:16-17 says, for God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you and I believe in him, we should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 8:11 says, and if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, then it shall quicken your mortal bodies. It shall make us alive today. As resurrection morning made Jesus, I say, dearly beloved, we have had our resurrection morn, and we should be quite well alive and well. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We are free. Like Jesus broke the bonds of death and sin and hell, he has made us free. And if the Son hath made you free, you are free indeed. Free to serve God. Free to do what is right. Free to live for his glory and his honor. We thank you, Almighty God, for life, the blessings of life that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you. And Lord, today our hearts are overwhelmed. We cannot comprehend. We want to apply. We want to comply. We want to try in our human understanding to have these realities imparted to our minds in such an efficient manner that there be no doubt about this very earnest truth that has urged us, Lord, to give ourselves to you and to want to serve you. We thank you for this gathering and this congregation, Almighty God, and we pray that you might just simply bless them with vigorous life, renewed and rejuvenating and superabundant life flowing as, Lord, you continue to work in their hearts and their lives and as they continue to yield themselves to you. Thank you again for the power of God through our Lord Jesus Christ and the hope of eternal life in him. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.